Dear Heavenly Father, we're so pleased to be in your house tonight. We thank you for the grace that you bestow upon us every day. We thank you, dear Jesus, for all the help that you give us and all the blessings that you give us every day. We're so happy to be able to be a member of and be part of the Lock Haven Baptist Church and of the Scripture Press and all of the fine people and the young people that are members of this church. We thank you, Jesus, for watching over us every day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books to bottom of page 83, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Let's stand as we sing. Visiting, welcome. Thank you very much. And we are privileged to have Brother Jim speak to us tonight. I don't know what he's going to speak on, but I'm intrigued with his visuals. He taught us to fly an airplane one time. I don't know what he's going to teach on tonight. Maybe it's the keys of heaven. I don't know. Brother Jim, would you come?
Thank you, Brother Price. I was going to say that I'm going to perform a trick tonight, and that trick will be keeping the attention of all the children here in the auditorium. But we'll see if that is possible. But welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church. I'll mention again, this was discovered in the ladies' Sunday school class If it is yours, it looked like a gift for someone, please claim it and give it to the rightful recipient. But it was probably a lady in the ladies' Sunday school class. And to those who arrived very early and got to experience the hearing test that I administered, let me apologize. It was a loud squealing sound. Brother Johnson said it was like an air raid siren. And I apologize for that. I was thinking it was more like all of us in a few years when our hearing aids begin to howl. Maybe that will be what it will sound like. You know, we have a wonderful message to share. A wonderful message. Jesus Christ is the answer for eternity and also in this life. But you know, some people just aren't ready to receive that message. Sometimes it might seem like a difficult message. The prophet Jeremiah was called upon a couple of times to deliver difficult messages. In Jeremiah chapter 7, we'll read about the first one that we'll look at tonight. The people, God's people, were living wickedly. And so Jeremiah was given the message of calling them on the carpet, saying, "You're doing wrong." And we find that in Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verse number 1. "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.'" Basically, what they were saying is, we're living here in God's town. God won't destroy us. His house is here. How could he destroy our city if he had to destroy his house? They were saying because God's temple was there, right there where they lived, that they could go on sinning, that God would excuse them to preserve a building. But that wasn't what God's intent was. God's intent was the heart of his people. He wasn't concerned about a building. God's desire we see in verse number 5. "For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." God just wanted them to do right. If they would do right, God would secure them there in that place. But they didn't want to do right. What were the people doing? Verse 8. "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered to do all these abominations?" They were trusting in the fact that God's house was there. And surely they wouldn't be destroyed living next door to God's house. They were trusting in a building and not willing to amend their ways as God had required. Look at verse number 11. "Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but you answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Shiloh was the original place of worship. If you recall Hannah, the story of Hannah, when she prayed for a son, Samuel, she prayed at the temple of Shiloh. The Ark of the Covenant at one time was there at the temple in Shiloh. But now that whole place was destroyed. Just because God's house was there, just because God's ark was there, God would not save that place despite sinful people. He wanted their hearts turned to Him. God wasn't concerned with buildings. He wanted the hearts of His people. That was an object lesson there. They all knew about Shiloh. They knew it was the original place of worship, and now they knew it was destroyed. So that was an object lesson in their minds. In Jeremiah chapter 27, we have another object lesson. God uses object lessons to teach us many times so we can see and remember what He has said. Here we see in chapter 27 of the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah given a difficult message. Jeremiah 27, verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck. A yoke was a way to control an ox. It kind of looked like this. Sometimes there were two of them, if two oxen were to work side by side, but it would put on their necks, and it would control them. They couldn't go away while that yoke was upon their neck. And so God here is telling Jeremiah, I want you to make a yoke and put it on your neck so that all the people can see. Verse 3, and send them to the king of Edom and to the king of Moab and to the king of the Ammonites and to the king of Tyrus and to the king of Zidon by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say to your masters, I have made the earth, and man, and beast that are upon the ground by my great power, and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. All the nations shall serve him and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. What God is saying here was a very difficult message for the people to hear, because some of them had already been taken captive. In fact, we find this in the book of 2 Kings. If you'll turn back there just for a moment to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 24. Here, many of the finest people of the land had already been taken captive to Babylon. And now God is telling the remnant of the land, I want you to serve Nebuchadnezzar here where you are. Look in 2 Kings chapter 24, beginning at verse 10. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out unto the king of Babylon, he and his mother, and his servants, and his princes, and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign. Basically, what the king is doing here is saying, I will give myself a prisoner if you will spare our land. He went out to the king of Babylon and gave himself as a prisoner. Verse 13, talking about Nebuchadnezzar. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem, and all the princes, and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. It was very likely at this time that Daniel and his friends were taken captive as well, because the mighty and the princes of the land were taken to Babylon. So the land had already been spoiled at this time. And all the people there that were left behind, the poorest of the land, those that probably couldn't make the journey, they were still there tending the vineyards and the groves and whatnot. So there were still people there, but they were longing for the return of all their king, the king's household, the princes, the smiths, which would be the people who were able to make tools, the craftsmen who could make items for their houses and all. They were waiting for these people to return. They didn't want to hear this message to submit to Babylon. In fact, a false prophet arose to give them just the message they wanted to hear. In Jeremiah chapter 28, in verse number 1, "And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Well, that's what the people wanted to hear. They wanted to hear all these people would be coming back. All the vessels of the house of God would be coming back. I could almost hear them cheering when Hananiah gave this prophecy, but it was false prophecy. It wasn't from the Lord. They were hearing two messages. Hear a message from Jeremiah: submit to Nebuchadnezzar and you'll live. If you don't submit, you'll be destroyed. And this other message, a false message, saying, just keep on going. God's going to bring them all back. It'll be good again in just 2 years. They couldn't both be true. And in fact, Hananiah's message was a false message. Verse 10, "Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it." "And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way." That was a pretty stark object lesson when Hananiah broke the yoke from Jeremiah. But again, his message was a false message. God took care of Jeremiah. Look at verse number 12. "Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. You know, Jeremiah had a very difficult message to give to the people, that they were to serve this pagan Nebuchadnezzar king, and only in doing so would they survive. You know, sometimes it seems our message that we have to share with other people is a difficult message. I think it's because it's so exclusive. You know, Jesus Christ is the only way. And when you say that, people say, well, you mean your way is better than my way. And I always try and turn it back to Scripture and say, the Bible says, or in the Bible, Jesus said, I am the way. Well, that's what you believe. You know, I believe something different. Well, you know, it is a free country, but Jesus Christ is the only way. And I tried to think of an illustration of how to make people see that. And I thought of keys. Most people have keys in their pocket. I have a lot of keys. And speaking with someone, you could say, do you have any keys in your pocket? And they would say, well, yes, I do have some keys. And I said, do you have a key to your door in your pocket? And they would probably pull out their keys and say, yes, there's a key to my door. And I said, well, I have some keys in my pocket, too. Do you think my keys would unlock your door? Well, no, of course not. What's wrong with my keys? Are your keys better than my keys? Well, yes, because your key will unlock the door. And I was looking at all these keys here. Now, Pastor loves fractions. And so I was trying to figure out how many keys I had here. And I weighed the keys. I weighed 10 keys. And 10 keys weighed 1/4 pound. Now, young people, if 10 keys weighed 1/4 pound, how many keys would be in a pound? Yes, young man in the back. 40 keys. 40 keys would be in a pound. And I have here 10 pounds of keys. So how many keys do I have? 400 keys. Give or take. I didn't count them. I just weighed them. So I have 400 keys. And you might say, wow, Brother Jim has a lot of keys there. You know, if I was locked out of my house, I think I would ask Brother Jim to bring his keys. It could be that one of those 400 keys would fit my lock and get me in the house. Well, in theory, that sounds pretty good. But each key, house key, residential house key, has 6 places on it, for the tumblers. And each tumbler can be 1 of 6 lengths. So you've got a chance of 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, and 6. And this might not be statistically right, but I thought, well, 6 times 6 times 6 times 6 times 6 would give me all the possibilities. So in order to have all the possibilities for a lock, I would have to have 46,600 keys. So I would have to have 10-pound buckets of keys. I would have to have 100 pounds of keys before I covered all the possibilities. Well, of course, that's foolish. You would certainly give up before you tried all of those keys. But the point being, when I share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not saying I have the key and you don't. I'm not saying my key is right and your key is wrong. Everybody knows the door only opens with one key. All these other keys are useless. But I want you to have the key. I want you to have the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not excluding you. I'm not speaking in pride. I want you to have the key just as well as I do. Sometimes the message we have to share is not received, just like Jeremiah's message. Sometimes we put people off because we speak perhaps in a sense of pride. You need what I have. But how much better that we share what the Lord has given us, that they too can have that key to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How do we come to God through Jesus? We realize that we are sinners and we can't save ourselves. We realize that God provided Jesus as the acceptable sacrifice. And we realize if we call upon God in faith, he will save us. You know, some people say you have to do certain things to get to heaven. You have to publish, you know, be faithful in giving out tracts, whatever it is. They say you have to do certain things. It's not what we do. It's the decision we make, a decision to trust Christ alone as our Savior. I hope that's a decision everyone here has made tonight. But if not, I hope you'll get with one of the adults after we're dismissed and say that you need to know more about that key to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time we've had to look into your word. We thank you that you have provided the one and only key, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that key is given freely to anyone who will receive it. Father, help us to be faithful in sharing that good news with everyone we come in contact with. Father, be with the children as they go home. Keep them safe. Be with the rest of us. Be with our pastor while he's away, and Miss Kim. Keep them safe. Let them have a good time of refreshment and bring them back safely. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.